Now, I have a couple slides here. There we go. It happens to be yours truly, some snapshots of me as I was a little fella there, the one without the beard in that picture. And there I am on a bicycle seat with my mom and my dad, and then me alone there with some shades on. And then that's me, and then a few years later, me with my grandparents. When I was about 2 and a half, my parents, my Japanese mother and American father, split up, and my American grandparents adopted me. And that was a real turning point in my life, because my biological parents ceased to have any real influence on my life, and my grandparents began to raise me not as grandparents raising a grandchild, but as parents raising their own son. I mean, they really took me in and loved me and cared for me as their own son. Now, in the good news that we read this morning, according to John, we read these lines. Jesus came to his own homeland, yet his own people did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, to those who put their trust in who Jesus was, he gave the right to become children of God. So you may notice there's a word that ties these two verses together, verses 11 and 12. And in the first verse, verse 11, it's a negation, a negative of receive. God's people who did not receive his son. But then in the next verse, on the other hand, we have those who did receive Jesus. Now, this is a big consequence, a big difference between these two verses. Those who don't receive Jesus and those who do receive Jesus. And the consequence is this. Those who receive Jesus become the children of God. They are born of God, says John. Now, here there's a connection as well, because while in our English the word become and born look like two totally different words, in the Greek they're actually a related word. And it's the word from which we get our word of generator or Genesis. You know, the book of beginnings, Genesis. And so it's as if we're saying those who receive Jesus, those who receive the Son of the Father, they are generated as children of God. They have a Genesis of God in a totally new and different way. Now, being generated as a child of God is not something that comes automatically to us. If it did, Jesus wouldn't have to say anything about it. He wouldn't have to teach about it. John would not have to record anything about our being generated as children of God. So it's not something that we naturally inherit as a human being when we're born into this world. It's not something that comes naturally. Now, this does not mean that Yahweh doesn't love everybody. Our God, who's named Yahweh, he has, and Jesus has, created each and every one of us and everybody else outside of this building this morning, and he loves them all. And he sent Jesus, his son, to die for everyone so that everyone's sins could be forgiven. But in order to receive that forgiveness of our sins, in order to receive a new generated relationship with the Father, we need to receive the Son. And when we receive the Son, everything that alienates us from the Father is taken away from us. Let's look at some more connections here in the scripture. To those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, in our other reading in Galatians, we read this, that God sent Jesus so that we might receive the full rights of adoption. There's that key word again of receive. We receive the Son who was sent by the Father so that we can have the full rights of adoption into God's family. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, you received the Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit of the full rights of adoption. You received the Spirit of the full rights of adoption. So your genesis as a child of God only happens after you have received Jesus as the one that God sent to die and to be resurrected for you. He's the one who loves you, the one who created you, the one who sees you as you really are. And he's the only one that can bring into our lives the light that can shine in the midst of our darkness. So the question that remains for us, now that we know this, is whether or not we will receive Jesus. Now, I don't know anything about rugby, but I've been trying. I've been on the phone with my previous boss, who's originally from Nottingham, and he's told me a little bit about rugby, and I've been gaining a few insights from Gareth. And I did a little research on the internet and found this Australian website that was telling me all about rugby. Now, in American football, we have a position called a receiver. And I found out that, I guess in rugby, you have something called a wing. Is that correct? And they seem to have a similar kind of position on the team, where the wing seems to be like a receiver in American football, where one of his primary jobs is to, in fact, receive the ball and then to do something with it. And I found these instructions on the rugby website. When you play good rugby, catching skills are very important. From the time you are born, you reach out for things you want, eyes wide open, fixed on the object you want to hold. How do you catch a rugby ball? You keep your eyes and mind on the ball. In a game of rugby, there are many distractions. There's a great deal competing for your attention. When you catch the ball, it is very important you keep hold of it. Jesus once told a story about a desperate man who had wasted all of his wealth on things that alienated him from his earthly father. And once all that money was gone, he had decided eventually to go back home. And Jesus describes what happened this way. He says, while this son was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran and embraced him. And the son said to him, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, the father's older son was out in the field, and as he came back home and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to the older brother, your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf. Why? Because your father has received him back safe and sound. So hear these words. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he ran and embraced him. And the servant said to the older brother, your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf. Why? Because he has received him back. You see, it's not just us who do the receiving. God receives also. He receives us. That's what he's out there trying to catch. He wants to catch us. He's keeping his eye on us, not in a judgmental, critical, condemning way. He's keeping his eye on us, his mind on us, because he's ready. He's ready to catch us when we're ready to receive him. A few years ago, a movie came out about a single man who wrote sci-fi novels, and about how this man wanted to adopt an orphan boy, and the boy that was suggested to him by the orphanage was a boy who was convinced that he was from Mars. Let's watch this trailer.
His name is Dennis. He's never had a phone of his own.
He doesn't have any friends.
Let's see him.
He's in the box.
That is so interesting. What made you think I'd be a good match for a boy who spends most of his time in a box?
He thinks he's from another planet.
Fantasy is my business. It's what I do. I'm a writer.
So he thinks he's from Mars, and you write about Mars. That's great.
Anybody in there?
A kid who sits in a box all day is a giant red flag.
Single man raising a child with problems. How do you plan to deal with that, Mr. Gordon?
Just think of it as a bigger box. Rules of the house. First rule, no girls after 10 p.m.
Why did they send you here? You know, the Martians.
To join a family and to learn human beingness.
What is with your pitching?
Mom, he's being gross.
It all ends up in the same place, right?
When you're here at home, it's okay to be from Mars. But when you're out there with the rest of your Earthlings, you know, you gotta go by Earth rules.
Whoa! Was that bad?
I don't care about any of that stuff. Look, this is just stuff. Come on, break it like you mean it. Over there, come on.
Just a little bit concerned here, Mr. Gordon. I'm gonna move your case up for review.
I do know there's no one on this planet that loves Dennis any more than I do. I don't want to bring another kid into this world. But how do you argue against loving one that's already here?
Is it good to be like everyone else?
That's a really good question. There's nothing you can do that would change the way I feel about you.
There's no harm in being a little eccentric.
Before we can give, we need to receive. I want to say to you today, if you have never received your adoption as a child of God, if you've never allowed the Father the joy of receiving you, of catching you, then this morning is your morning to do that. And as the band comes up and plays the next song for us, Gareth and I will wait up here. And if anybody wants to come forward and allow the Father to receive you and for you to receive your adoption, then do that right now.